How much time do you spend thinking about food? Put 10 public media listeners in a room. I suspect all 10 will have a level of expertise about food. Some strong opinions, too, of course. From passionate recommendations of a 39th Street restaurant to positions on nutrition in public schools. From the excitement of biting into a wonton cheesecake dessert to the problems associated with Kansas City's food deserts. Food can be so much fun, but the issues surrounding food can be so perplexing, so polarizing even. I'm Bill Anderson. Today on Central Standard, a play that wants to engage us in conversation about food. Later this hour, protecting your investment, specifically protecting your home's roof. But first, the debut of a play called Eat This, KC Chews on the Politics of Food. The writer-director is Stephanie Roberts. She's with us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to have you here.
Thank you.
And we're also joined by actors Alicia Espinosa.
Good morning.
Hi. And Jamie Dufault.
Good morning.
Graduate students and theater aspirants.
Yes, absolutely.
You aspire to perform for a living. Let's correct myself there. Well, Stephanie, let's start with you. What was the source of inspiration for this play?
Well, 3 years ago, we did a piece in the department called Slammed. KC speaks out on the recession.
Right.
And it was successful in a number of ways. It got the graduate students who are normally, I would say, in a kind of bubble of training, right? It's the training is so intense that we really only, you know, hang out with ourselves, work with ourselves, into the community to find out about the people and the places where they're going to be living for the, you know, 3 years. It also gave the actors ownership over the play because they were a part of creating it.
Mm-hmm.
And it also is a really unique way for them to approach character, right?
Okay.
Going from a real person, an audio recording, right? So it was very successful. It also got a lot of people to come to the theater who don't normally come to the theater because all of those people that we interviewed, of course, we invited and many, many of them came. So we wanted to do that again with the new graduate students who hadn't experienced that. And I was thinking, well, what else affects everyone?
Mm-hmm.
What is a really hot topic, controversial topic, because we look for conflict in theater, right? And food was the obvious choice. It affects us every day, several times a day.
And in case you're uninitiated, we're talking about the UMKC Theater Department. And Stephanie, so do you have a background in farming, or do you have any connections to agriculture?
I grew up in rural Washington State, first 14 years of my life, we lived on my grandparents' ranch and didn't have animals. I mean, when I was very little, we had some cows and chickens, but my grandfather, he was an Italian immigrant. He had a huge garden, maybe a half-acre garden. And so when I was little, I was out there with him. I would hang out with my grandpa all the time in the garden. And so I knew when I was 4 or 5, you know, what kohlrabi was, what Swiss chard was, what, you know, and I would eat cabbage and garlic when I was 5 with my grandpa in his kitchen, you know. And so
that sounds wonderful, actually. Yeah.
And but I realized that that is not the case, you know, for most children, especially urban children, to know what a tomato is, to know what a radish is, right?
And how it came to be, how it got to our table. Alicia, I have to ask you, what kind of a background do you have in agriculture or farming? Did you have any connection going into this play?
I have zero background in farming or agriculture. I've done a few turns as a pizza delivery girl, jack of all trades, in a mom and pop shop, but that's basically my connection to food is my parents and working there, but no farming. I think my sister tried to do a backyard garden once. Didn't go over too well.
And Jamie Dufault, same question.
Like Alicia, I had no background in farming whatsoever. This was a completely new experience for me, and it was just a wealth of information that I, you know, accrued over this process, because I really had a very little knowledge of the food industry, and so it's definitely been an educational experience for me.
And you actually went out into the field and interviewed people who work in the various industries that support agriculture and the creation of farm to market.
Yes, we interviewed tons of different people in the community, and one of the people that I interviewed, I actually play in the show, Max Watson, who's the chef at Remedy. And it's been just a really unique experience getting to know these people personally, and just have a stronger connection of where the food's coming from, and just to have that direct connection, and just to have a better sense of the community of food that's here in Kansas City.
Alicia, you're nodding your head in agreement.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking about someone that I interviewed, but I wasn't in the show in the end. She was a food scientist, mm-hmm. and that was incredibly interesting, just actually meeting someone who's in the process of making your bread taste like what you think it should taste like, and
yeah.
making your granola bars stay together even though they're made of these ingredients, and the vast, vast complexity of food in our world today. It's overwhelming and fascinating at the same time.
Who are a couple of the other people you spoke to in the field to help inform your characters on stage?
Sure. I got the chance to talk to Barbara Johnson, who is working on a project called Urban Green Dreams, and her partner, Robert. Those were the people I interviewed. I'm working on Selena Teo, who's the chef at
uh-huh.
Julian.
Yes.
Heidi Van Pelt, who owns Food, mm-hmm. and also Heather Gibbons. She's a mom we met out in the field.
Yeah.
So
a
listening
real
to
mom.
Those interviews, yes, a mom,
yeah.
a mom who's really invested in food.
Yeah.
So those are the people I'm working on, and only a few who I got to interview myself.
Yeah. And you're playing how many characters?
I have four.
You have four.
Yes.
Only four.
Only four.
That's got to be incredibly challenging. Jamie, how many?
I'm also playing four characters
okay.
in the show.
Stephanie, how many actors are on stage? How many people are they playing?
12 actors on stage, and I think I counted about 50. That's not including just little parts, like they all play children in a classroom. They play kind of little walk-on parts, but about 50 characters that we interviewed.
Sounds like a director's delight. It sounds like a nightmare for a director, actually.
It is a lot of organizing, and it was really a puzzle putting the piece together because, and casting.
Yes.
I would love to give people somebody that they interviewed, but at some point I wanted those people in the same scene together, and I didn't want to end up with an actor talking to himself.
Okay, you know? Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be poor form, I suppose. Mm-hmm. We want our listeners to play a role in this performance. Do you think about food? When you're biting into something scrumptious, do you take a moment to consider how that got from the land to your plate? Phone 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. Or leave a comment on our Facebook page. Alicia, you're playing four different characters. You're trying to look as natural and fluid as you possibly can on stage, but how on earth do you keep the character straight?
Well, so a big thing we talk about is a trigger. So we had these interviews and people we hadn't met, and we would put our headphones in and just listen and look like crazy people talking to ourselves as we tried to get this person's voice in our head. And some of us, I think I worked more from the vocal, that having someone's vocal pattern, especially Barbara, she has a great voice. Having that accent helped me. I would learn a line in that accent and I would say it just before I go on stage, and that's how I get into it.
I see.
I know some of the other actors do physical
uh-huh.
gestures to
uh-huh.
sort of, yep, okay, that's how that person moves, and that helps them get into it. And it's a little easier for me. A lot of my characters are just scene, okay, I'm done with them. Scene, I'm done with them. Some people
right.
come in throughout act one and act two. They're in the first scene, they're in the third scene, they're in the fifth scene.
And Jamie, when you were out there learning about food and farming and agriculture, it's you're also studying mannerisms and voice patterns.
Yes, absolutely. And that was definitely the case with Max Watson, who's one of the characters that I play in the show and one that I interviewed personally.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was an interesting balance while interviewing him to ask the questions that needed to be asked, but also in the back of my mind paying attention to his particular rhythms, his in speech and movement, and to try to to keep that information in my head and uh-huh. And be able to try to represent that as best I could on stage.
All right. I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you give us a little bit of Max, or would you prefer not to? You don't have to.
I could do Max. I'm just trying to think. It's not as distinct as a couple of the other characters I play. I could give you a little Jamie Oliver if you'd like.
That would be good.
Jamie Oliver's obviously he's a chef, a celebrity chef that you'd see on Food Network. But there's a bit in the show that that incorporates his opinion on pink slime. So I'll give you a little Jamie Oliver. The thing is, guys, the supporters of this product would say it's safe and efficient. But everything about this process to me is about no respect for food or people or children. And at the moment, there's nothing on your labeling that would let you know that you're eating this stuff.
Stephanie? How do you do?
Oh, he did a great job. Obviously, we didn't interview Jamie Oliver. But that brings up a point that one of our interviewees mentioned Jamie Oliver. Actually, several of them did. And so and referred to this particular piece that he did on his television show Food Revolution. And so we just decided to put him in our show.
So the show is called Eat This, Casey Chews on the Politics of Food, and we invite your phone questions and comments, 235-2888. Again, we have a post on our Facebook page, and we'd like to talk to you that way also. Oh, or you can send us a tweet even. Now, do you, Stephanie, writer and director of this play, do you consider yourself an advocate, or are you just kind of trying to get people to have a conversation about heady issues, important
right.
issues?
Well, I'm an advocate of people being more aware of where their food comes from, and being aware of the choices that they're making every day. And even if that choice has to be for economic reasons or convenience, at least that they know and they can weigh that choice, that they maybe look at the ingredients, that they know what some of those ingredients are, and that they know about the people that are bringing it to them, right? I can't say, especially after doing all of these interviews, that one way is the right way for everyone. I could absolutely not say that. But we hope that people would become a little more aware and then not go home necessarily with an answer to change their mind from our play, but to maybe do a little more research. I think ultimately it's so that they can make healthier choices.
Alicia, have you been changed? Has your diet changed, the way you look at food?
Big way.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us started with the idea of processed food.
Mm-hmm.
Just started looking at our labels and going. We read Michael Pollan's The Omnivore's Dilemma, and he makes a huge list about all of the additives that are actually made from corn, and you have no idea because the ingredient doesn't say corn. It says all these really complicated words. So looking at your label and going, oh, I have a corn diet, and I don't think I want to be eating corn every day.
Yeah, right.
And then from there, we're blessed with so many farmers markets here in KC. So going to farmers markets and just making one or two choices differently, deciding I'm going to buy organic apples today and I'll probably go to the grocery store afterwards, but trying to vary where I spend my money and how I spend it and what I eat and how I eat it. Raw is another thing that comes up a lot in mm-hmm. our play about
raw food.
How important raw food is mm-hmm. as an energy source and how it's better for you. So I've been kind of going through a little food schizophrenia, trying to figure out what do I want to eat? But it's been interesting and enlightening.
Same question for you, Jamie.
Yeah, it's definitely affected my diet. You know, just walking into the supermarket before this play was just – it felt like an overwhelming kind of experience. And now after the experience of doing this play, it's – you know, now when I walk in, I have – you know, I don't have an incredible amount of knowledge, but I have much more of a better idea of where some of this stuff is coming from. And, you know, and it's nice to have met some of these people and know – not where specific things in the supermarket actually come from, the Bread KC guys who are part of our show. You know, when I walk into Sunfresh, I can go buy their bread, and I know exactly where that where that comes from. So it's just it's comforting, and kind of I think the experience of doing things shows sort of relieved sort of that anxiety of not knowing anything.
When you were out interviewing people preparing for the play, did you have a moment where you observed something or you learned something and you go, oh, my God, and it caused you to either give up that food or it kind of changed the way you approach preparing food maybe?
Well, sure. I mean, it's definitely just changed the way I've looked at a lot of processed foods. You know, I certainly –
That's what Alicia was saying.
Yeah, I've certainly been, you know, guilty of just – of eating just a lot of processed prepackaged stuff. And, you know, I've definitely been trying to make a conscious effort to, you know, to move away from that and, you know, to cook some more things myself. That's not something that I've really done a lot of before. And now it's, you know, it's definitely changed the way I look at that.
Well, the audience plays a role in this in that, Stephanie, they're served during during the performance, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and you have a kind of a collaboration with with Brad Casey.
With Brad Casey, Sean Starwitz and Andrew Erdrich. And what Jamu was referring to, Sean, his day job is he works with farm-to-market bread. He's a baker there, and he's also the resident artist. And so we also interviewed Mark Friend, who is the founder and baker there. And so it's great we have that connection with those products. But Sean and Andy, they're on stage. They are preparing soup, and they've brought bread with them. And so the theater is filled with – during the second act, the theater is filled with the smells of cooking soup, and then afterwards we have a post-play discussion over soup, and we break bread, so to speak, with the audience as they have a chance to comment and ask us questions.
Now, did you just describe your chefs as food artists?
Yes.
Did I hear that?
Yes. Well, we have in our promotion. Yeah, they are, and they are also graduates of Kansas City Art Institute. And a part of their mission as artists is community involvement, community interaction, and so it was as well as food. And so it was a great marriage, I guess, of our project and theirs.
Yeah. Do you get to eat on stage?
We do.
Yeah,
we do get to eat on stage. Yes.
And we get the gift. It's funny that you mentioned food artists because Sean came in and we were using this loaf of prop bread. And he looked at it and he was like, what is this? And we were like, it's bread. And he was like, no, it's not. I'll bake you a new loaf every night. You will not use this weird looking fake bread in this show while I'm here. I'm like, okay, Sean, thanks for the bread.
Yes, that was nice. Freshly baked bread every night on stage.
Every night.
Yeah, you eat with your mouth closed, right?
Oh yeah. We're respectful.
Just checking. Hey, Kansas City, what do you think? 235-2888. What are your priorities? What are your values when it comes to food production and consumption? We'd like to hear from you. 816-235-2888. It's Central Standard. I'm Bill Anderson, and this is KCUR and KCUR.org. I think we're going to take a phone call from Georgia, who's calling from Overland Park. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Thank you for being there and having this wonderful program this morning. This is just great. I think it's really important food. I guess you're preaching to the choir when I'm listening because I think I'm there. I certainly don't know all the things I need to know about food, but I do believe in CSA and fresh fruit and buying local. My concern, well, I have two questions, I guess. One is, where can I see this wonderful play? And thank you, Stephanie, for doing this play and the students. Where can I see this play? And the other thing is a concern about the food desert in cities like Kansas City, where people do not have fresh fruit and vegetables available, cannot buy local. And I really believe in community gardens. And are you doing anything with this concern?
Well, first of all, where you can see it, we're doing it on the UMKC campus, in the Performing Arts Center down in the first floor studio, 116. Now, I have to warn people that every show is sold out, but often seats do open up at the end. And so if you wanted to come and get on a waiting list or call and see if anybody is canceled, then you can certainly do that. We often get people in at the last minute. The food deserts. Alicia, do you want to talk a little bit about Barbara and Robert and the people that we talked to?
Yeah, this is an issue close to my heart, and it's very important to me. And we got to talk to Barbara and Robert, and their dream, urban green dreams, is to make community gardens. So they're finding empty plots in the urban core, buying them up and putting raised beds, and trying to get children and their parents involved in growing food in their community because they do live in a food desert. Ultimately, they want hoop houses so they can grow year-round, and it's really beautiful what they're trying to do to re-engage people and make them advocates for themselves instead of waiting for someone else to solve the food desert, although I'll be the first one to say someone should be looking at that a little more closely. They're really trying to organize the community. They got people involved in master garden classes so they can learn how to garden, and Barbara is from a – she's from a farm in Tennessee, and she has all of this knowledge about farming and teaching kids. There are people out there, not just farmers markets, but especially Barbara and Robert, going out there to bring gardens to the urban core, to the food deserts, in an attempt to show people we can take care of ourselves. If you're not going to do it, we're going to do it.
Well, and I can tell you, I do have some firsthand knowledge with a food desert in that occasionally I will go out and try to find something healthy to eat at an area grocery store, an urban grocery store, and it's really difficult to find fresh food, fresh, healthy food. Subsequently, I end up with, you know, the frozen burrito for lunch, and I know that's a bad choice, but sometimes it's the only choice. Any thoughts on that, Stephanie?
Right. Well, and Barbara, and it's Barbara Johnson and Robert Porter. They're in the Palestine community in the urban core. And she says that there's a 10-mile radius where there is no grocery store.
Not a single grocery store.
There's, you know, gas stations and maybe convenience stores. And that, you know, she sees people getting – and most of those people don't have transportation. So they have to get on the bus and go to Walmart and, you know – and so it's something – And they really need help from the community. They need volunteers. They need people who can write grants for them, as well as young people they want to help with the garden, to help organize and do the labor of it.
What are some of the other struggles, some of the other issues that you're presenting in Eat This?
Well, school lunches, right? Everybody you know, everybody has an opinion about school lunches, right? The parents, the community members, the faculty, and everybody. Right now, the USDA has some pretty stringent guidelines as far as and it's new this year as far as what should be on the plate and the variety, a minimum and a maximum calories. And I do believe that it is good intentioned. But the school administrators, it's very difficult. It's a lot of number crunching. And I think that the public doesn't know just really all of the red tape, all of the restrictions that are on them to be able to bring those mostly free and reduced lunches, right? Because it's a federal program. And some of the places that we interviewed, 63% of their students are on free and reduced lunch, right? And so in order to be reimbursed for those lunches, they have to follow the federal guidelines, and that's very difficult sometimes.
What are some of the other things you'd like us to think about or that you will be presenting that will, you know, give food for thought, if you'll excuse the expression?
Well, we went to the farmers, right? I guess the first act really takes place on the farm in the country for the most part, and then it moves to the city, so farm to table. And I would say on both sides of the issues, we have stereotypes, we have assumptions about what happens on an industrial farm or what an industrial farm really is, right? And we went to these industrial farms, and one in particular was a Hines family farm, Chris Hines, in Higginsville, Missouri. And it's an industrial farm, but it's all run by the family. It's a sixth-generation farm. It's very, very sustainable, environmentally sustainable. And they care about the land. They care about the animals. And and that was surprising, I think, to a lot of us that went there.
You say they care about the land. They care about the animals. Explain that.
Mm-hmm. Well, for one thing, they have these outdoor barns, right? So open air barns. They are positioned or built so that they're exactly 1 foot above the other, and so there's this natural aeration, right? So so that they don't have to use as much electricity, for example, right? And there is a system. They have a lagoon, and it pumps water into this flushing system so that they clean the area where they are all of the time, and then that water with the manure and the sand, they're bedded in sand, which is really comfortable for the cows and really, sanitary wise, it's really good for them. It flushes that into this kind of layered, stepped recycling system, and then that water is recycled back into the lagoon. It's, you know, the manure is put on the crops that they own, and they grow the crops that go directly to the feed of the cows. So, so that's just a little bit. That's really a nutshell version of what they do to try to be more green.
Jamie DeFault, as a performer in Eat This, KC Chews on the Politics of Food, What are you trying to convey to me as an audience member? What do you want my takeaway to be after watching you on stage?
Sure. Well, something that Stephanie stressed to us in performing the show is to hold the audience accountable for their choices, and to along with that to lift the big ideas of the piece, of these particular people, and to make sure that they land on the audience, because these people are they're all extremely passionate, and they all have very important big ideas to get across. And, you know, it's our job as actors to make sure that, you know, that we do justice to those passions and to theatricalize them in a way that will make them interesting and memorable to the audience. I think that's really, really our job.
Alicia Espinosa, can you add anything to what Jamie just shared with us? Or do you agree with Jamie?
I agree completely. And it's the idea of, we learned that all the people that we interviewed are well-intentioned. They're trying to do the right thing. And it's a very complex issue. So doing them justice every time we step on stage, and their motivations and their passions for what they're doing, so that you can look at the big picture and say, all right, they think they're doing the right thing. They think they're doing the right thing. Maybe I can do my own research and come up with my own thoughts and then make my choices accordingly. Just accountability, but, curiosity, because some people, they don't really know and maybe they don't care, but maybe they'll see this show and go, oh, okay, I'm a little more interested.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie, you've written some musical elements into this play. Tell us about that.
Well, it was important. It's a documentary style piece of theater in the process that we went through in interviewing, but it's still a piece of theater. Mm-hmm. And when people go to the theater, they want to be entertained.
Of course, yes.
And so it was important for us to make it theatrical. One of the songs is a jazzy kind of ensemble about corn. And we have this beautiful gown and this woman who plays a stalk of corn, basically. and the students wrote that, and I helped, you know. And then in the second half, Mark Manning from KCK Organic Teaching Gardens, we went into his classroom, fifth grade classroom, and he was doing a project about sweet potatoes. And I took all of the information from that workshop, and I wrote it into a rap that he and the students perform.
Uh-huh.
So really fun stuff.
Alicia, do you play a stock of corn?
It's not me.
No?
No, but a lot of us get to do the sweet potato wrap, as we're calling it.
Yeah, well, tell us a little bit about that.
So we're playing fifth graders in Mark Manning's. He's teaching them about sweet potatoes, and we just sort of I don't want to spoil it.
It's a
big showstopper. I think a lot of people will enjoy it.
It's like a book report in grade school. If you want to hear about the rest of the book, you'll have to pick it up and read it.
Exactly.
Hey, if you'd like to be a part of this conversation, we can get you in 235-2888. And Chris is joining us from Prairie Village. Hi, Chris.
Hi there. Well, I think this plays a really neat thing. I had read a lot of the books you guys have been talking about, the Michael Pollan books, Barbara Kingsolver, Fast Food Nation, and it changed the way I've done things. But I mean, that's been over the course of a decade, and this is a nice way to kind of compress all that information and deliver it in a relatively short period to an audience. I think it's a great thing you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for your phone call.
Sure.
There's still time to get in at 235-2888, 235-2888. Cindy's calling from Lawrence. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Bill. I just wanted to let the community know that in Douglas County, our master gardeners have started a couple of years ago of gleaning produce from our excellent farmers market, and that's produce that doesn't sell. Mm-hmm. It's really premium product, and we have gleaned so far about 13 tons of produce for our food bank, Just Food, here in Douglas County, just by picking up the produce. And I'd like to challenge every county in the area to do something similar, because it gets to people who want it, need it, and the farmers are most appreciative.
Stephanie, do you address that in
that
play?
That's great. We don't address gleaning, but it's a wonderful thing. There's so many topics. We don't also address hunger very much in the play. But thank you for what you're doing, and I say that people should take up that challenge.
Well, we're going to have more information on our website, kcur.org. But you said if someone wants to try to get in at the last minute, because the performances are sold out, how do they do that?
They will call they actually should probably just show up to get on the waiting list, but they can call 235-6222, which is our central ticket office. I also want to say that we have harvester bins, and if people bring two items of food, then they can get a coupon for a future UMKC theater show, and that's really important. They're a great resource in our community.
Have you already started thinking about your next play?
I have.
What can you tell us? Anything?
I think we have to address violence.
Okay. Right? Alicia Espinosa is a student at UMKC, a graduate student, and aspires to be a performer as a career.
An actress. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, good luck. You did a nice job on the radio this morning. Jamie DeFault, same thing. Nice to have you here this morning. Good luck with your career.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Good luck to everyone. Stephanie Roberts wrote the play, Eat This, Kansas City Chews on the Politics of Food. It's running now until March 10th at the Olson Performing Arts Center in Kansas City. She directs it too, by the way, if you missed that. Just ahead, some tips about how to rid your roof of that heavy snow that's probably causing some problems for a number of property owners in Kansas City, and you may not even know it. We can help you help yourself as you consider making repairs or even making changes in your roof pitch. I'm Bill Anderson. It's Central Standard on KCUR.